We're going to be in Acts chapter 12 this morning, and we're going to take a look at the first 11 verses there. What we see is witnesses unto Jesus to the ends of the earth. We're going to see some things that are not what we would want to see, yet we're going to see what God does. The general outline of Acts is derived from Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, meaning unto Rome. The witness of the disciples in Jerusalem is found in 1:1 through 7:60. In Judea and Samaria in 8:1 through 9:31, and to the uttermost part of the earth in 9:32 through 28:31, where we close with Paul in prison in Rome. It begins with Peter's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. It's followed by the planting of a church at Antioch, and the persecution by Herod and Herod's subsequent death, by Saul or Paul's missionary journey with Barnabas, recorded in 13:1 through 14:28, and it's followed by the council at Jerusalem in chapter 15. Paul's second missionary journey, this time with Silas rather than Barnabas, occurs in 15:36 through 18:22. His third missionary journey is reported in 18:23 through 21:26. And then Paul's trials following his arrest are found in 21:27 through 26:32 and are followed by his voyage to Rome and shipwreck, and his house arrest and witness to the Jews in Rome. In Acts 12, 1 through 25, which is the whole chapter, we won't be doing that this morning, just half of it, we see the persecution by Herod and Herod's death. Herod Agrippa the First began to harass the church by murdering the Apostle James and then by arresting and imprisoning Peter with the intent of executing him following the Passover. Meanwhile, the believers prayed continuously for Peter. God answered their prayers by sending his angel to release Peter. Following his escape from prison, Peter visited the believers, explained how he had been released, and then went elsewhere. Before long, God caused the death of Herod. Meanwhile, the word of God prospered, and Barnabas and Saul, accompanied by John Mark, returned to Antioch from Jerusalem following the completion of their famine ministry. You do know, don't you, that Romans 8:28 is true? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Was this applicable to the Apostle James? He gets killed, martyred. Was it applicable to Peter, who was imprisoned? He also got released from prison. It wasn't a problem to James that he got murdered. He got to be with the Lord instantly. It wasn't a problem to Peter that he was jailed for a while and was then released. How's Romans 8:28 working out in your life? What's going on in your life that you hadn't planned on? We don't know what's coming tomorrow or even this afternoon, do we? No, we don't. Will it be working for our good because we love the Lord and are called according to his purpose? And the answer is yes, whatever it turns out to be. We've all been through some very wonderful times, and we've also been through some very difficult times. But don't forget, God was in control all the way, and he is still in control. I want to go through the text of Acts 12, 1 through 11, and then break it down verse by verse in those 11 verses. We read in Acts 12, starting in verse number 1, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon Peter, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Well, it's an interesting experience for James, for Peter, and for the people in the church at Jerusalem. As we come to verse 1, Herod began to persecute the church. He got a little too big for his own britches, didn't he? Yes, he did, and God is going to take care of him in our next message next week. He will only live another week, all right? That's because we're going to get him killed next week. According to verse 1, Herod began to persecute the church. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Now is continuing the narrative of Acts, but takes it in a slightly different direction. About that time is simply at that time, or during that time, or then. Herod the king is Herod Agrippa the First. He is the grandson of Herod the Great, you know, the one who murdered all the babies 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem following the visit of the wise men. Herod Agrippa I was king over Judea. Stretched forth his hands, is laid his hands or put forth his hands to vex, meaning to harm, to mistreat, to afflict, or to oppress certain. Certain is plural. It's understood in the sense of certain ones, not just one person, but certain ones or some. And he chose one of the leaders among the apostles of the church, of the ones from the church. You notice that it was intentional. He knew what he was doing, and he was out to cause problems for the church in Jerusalem. According to verse 2, as part of his harassment of certain ones from the church, Herod murdered the apostle James. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And continues the thought, it's the same word translated now in the previous verse. He killed, where he is Herod, suggests he got rid of by execution in the sense of he did away with or destroyed. It is used mostly of killing by violence, in battle, by execution, murder, or assassination. The one he executed was James, the brother of John. You'll remember, James and John were the sons of Zebedee, and together they were referred to as the sons of thunder by Jesus. Enlisting the 12 apostles, Mark 3:17 says, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he, meaning Jesus, surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. They were apparently hot-tempered individuals. With the sword indicates the means employed to murder James. The word translated sword indicates that it was a relatively short sword or dagger. Although it's not clear why the Lord allowed James to be murdered, it is clear that it was within the will of God, because God certainly could have prevented it as he did with Peter. Now that seems a little strange to me, that God would allow somebody to be murdered within his will. But that's the only conclusion you can draw from this. Now, it is not likely that Herod personally killed James. As king, he would have commanded it to be done. He would have caused James' death and was therefore responsible for his murder. It won't be long. He won't be living anymore himself. I wonder if he had not done this, if God would have allowed him to live a little longer. I don't know. We'll never know the answer to that. According to verse 3, Herod continued to persecute the church by seizing Peter. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. This sounds very much like it was a political thing, to help him politically with the Jewish populace. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And continues the narrative about Herod seeking to vex certain of the church, because he saw, where he is Herod, is used in conjunction with proceeded, indicating cause, that's the way it's translated, or perhaps time. Regardless, its action occurred before the action of proceeded. It is literally having seen. And it's been translated as showing cause. But if showing time, it would be understood in the sense of when or after he saw. So he saw this, and he decided, well, let's do a little bit more. What Herod saw is that it pleased the Jews. That is, that it was pleasing to the Jews. Pleased has been put in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, having seen that pleasing it was to the Jews. Well, he thought to himself, apparently, I want to do something else that'll be even more pleasing to the Jews. So he proceeded further, suggests that Herod added something to what he had already done in murdering James with a dagger. He proceeded to take Peter also, indicates what he did in addition to murdering James. To take means to take into custody, to seize, to apprehend, or to arrest. Peter, of course, is the Apostle Peter, also suggests in addition to James. Within the will of God, Peter was arrested and imprisoned and found himself awaiting execution. Now, what's going on in your life within the will of God? Think it through. Is God in control of your life? Oh, he is, whether you realize it or not. What's going on in the will of God in your life? Well, I know some things. You're getting older, okay? You're not getting any younger. And some of us have been around a while, haven't we? Yes, we have. Within the will of God. How many of us were born on the day of God's choosing? Well, I know that every one of us was. Was anybody here born on a day when God didn't want you born? Oh, no. You are what God wanted you to be. Within the will of God, your gender was determined. Within the will of God, your parents were determined, like it or not. Within the will of God, you have a lot of things that have been determined. Then were the days of unleavened bread has been placed in parentheses because it does not advance the narrative, but it does indicate the time in which James was executed and Peter was arrested. We can identify the year. It was A.D. 44. The same year in which Herod died. Now, that's getting to be how many years after the crucifixion? Depending on when you date that crucifixion, it's often dated anywhere from 29 to 33. Well, if it's 29, it's 15 years later. What you've been doing for the last 15 years? Well, I don't know. I know what I've been doing for the last 15. Some of the times I can't remember everything. It's literally, they were days of the festival of unleavened bread. This was an 8-day annual celebration in which the Jews commemorated their deliverance from Egypt on the night the angel of the Lord passed over the land of Egypt and slew the firstborn of both man and animals, while preserving alive those who had applied blood from a sacrificial lamb to the lintel and posts of the doors of their houses. The Passover was celebrated on the 14th day of Nisan, which corresponds to our March or April, and it's between sunset and midnight on the 15th day of Nisan. It was followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th to the 21st days of Nisan. This feast commemorated the exodus of Israel from Egypt. If you'd like to study about this, it's good. It's a good study. Exodus 12, 1 through 14 gives instructions regarding the celebration of the Passover, and Exodus 12, 15 gives instructions regarding the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Moving on to verse 4, Herod had Peter imprisoned and guarded by 16 soldiers with the intent of executing him after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And when he had apprehended him, where he is Herod and him is Peter, it's used in conjunction with put, indicating time, that's how it's translated, or a fact in addition to put. Its action occurred before the action of put. It's been translated as showing time. It's understood in the sense of whom having arrested or having taken into custody, or whom after he arrested or after he took into custody. If showing a fact in addition to put, it is understood simply as whom he arrested and took into custody. He put him in prison where he is Herod, him as Peter is. He placed him in prison. You see, again, Herod didn't do this personally, but he undoubtedly ordered it to be done. Delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him is used in conjunction with put. It's been translated as a fact in addition to put, and its action occurred at the same time as the action of put. He delivered him. He handed Peter over or turned Peter over to 4 quaternions of soldiers. Indicates the ones to whom Herod delivered Peter at the prison. I'm guessing you don't know what a quaternion is. It's one of those vocabulary terms which you probably haven't used since the last time you read this chapter in the scriptures. A quaternion is a squad or detachment of 4 soldiers. Thus, 4 quaternions of soldiers means 16 soldiers, because you know 4 times 4 equals 16, in case you haven't forgotten that. To keep him where him is Peter is to guard him so that he would not escape. It shows the purpose of Herod in handing Peter over to the 4 squads of soldiers. Inasmuch as there were 4 quaternions, there were a total of 16 soldiers assigned to guard Peter. Each group of 4 would apparently guard Peter, who was chained by his hands to 2 of them. The other 2 were before the door guarding the prison, according to verse 6. Assuming that Peter was guarded around the clock, each quaternion would apparently be on duty guarding him for 6 hours. Now, we don't know how many days Peter was kept in prison. It was intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people, and this indicates Herod's plan for Peter. God, however, had a different plan for Peter. Intending is used in conjunction with put. It indicates a fact in addition to put, and it's understood in the sense of and he, meaning Herod, intended, or and he, meaning Herod, planned. After Easter, we have people that like the King James translation that don't like the translation Easter. Well, that's too bad. That's where it's there, and we'll just go ahead and live with it. After Easter is after the Passover. Its timing corresponds approximately with our Easter, which varies from one year to another, to another, and it varies in accordance with the Jewish calendar. And every once in a while, the Jewish calendar would insert an extra month of 30 days, so it varies even. You can't give it a consistent date in modern English because of our calendar, but just it's around what we celebrate as our Easter. As I've already said, the Passover was an Israelite festival commemorating Israel's exodus from Egypt, celebrated on the 14th of the month Nisan, continuing into the early hours of the 15th. This was followed immediately by the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th to the 21st. Popular usage merged the two festivals and treated them as a unity, as they were for practical purposes. According to verse 3, these were the days of unleavened bread. So it's after the Passover, during the days of unleavened bread. This indicates that the actual Passover was already over, and that Herod's intent was to bring him forth to the people after the combined Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread was finished. To bring him, meaning to bring Peter forth to the people, is technical terminology meaning to bring him before the people for a judicial process. Of course, this would have resulted in Peter's execution. According to verse 5, the believers prayed continuously for Peter. Well, how did Romans 8:28, the truth of that, apply to the people? Why did God allow this, one of their main leaders, to be imprisoned with the thought of his being executed in just a short while? Well, God taught them that they could pray. God taught them that he could answer their prayers. God taught them that they needed to depend on him. I'm not sure how many other lessons might have been there for their benefit. You know, you think of some things that you've experienced. How many lessons did you learn? If they involve your children, it might be that you learned several lessons at that same time. But just remember, it was within the will of God that Peter was arrested and imprisoned and was awaiting execution, which never occurred, by the way, but he was awaiting it. We don't always know what God is doing or why. And you know, we should try to figure it out every time something does happen, but we may not ever figure out some things. I'm sure you'll understand that because I have experienced that myself. I don't know why God allowed that. Why? Why did God allow that? I don't know. But it was for my good, I know that much, because the Bible says so. Not that I have to understand it. According to verse 5, the believers prayed continuously for Peter. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You suppose they were praying around the clock? They may have been. We don't know. It says without ceasing. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English text. Its purpose is to set up a contrast between the two statements in verse 5. If it had been translated, it would have been rendered on the one hand, then but, which begins the contrasting statement, would be understood in the sense of but on the other hand. Therefore, draws an inference from Herod's intent to bring him forth to the people in verse 4. And it's understood in the sense of consequently, accordingly, or so. Peter was kept in prison, as Peter was being kept or retained in custody or guarded in the prison. There was no way he was going to escape as far as the Romans were concerned. Meanwhile, the believers were praying for Peter. Was it good for them to be praying? Sure it was. Did God teach them that their prayers would be answered? Sure. And haven't you had prayers answered? Of course you have. Who hasn't that's a believer? But introduces a contrasting statement in the sense of, but on the other hand, Prayer speaks of petitions made to God. We understand that. Was made without ceasing, was being made perseveringly, eagerly, or earnestly. The tense of was made indicates continuing action in past time. Of course, it would be repeated, perhaps. It's all right to pray for the same thing as long as God has not answered that yet. Pray. Let God decide that. Of the church is simply by the church, by the assembly, by the congregation. Unto God for him, meaning unto God for Peter. It means to God on behalf of Peter. You can't see it, but the appears before God in the Greek text in order to indicate that its reference is to God the Father, the God of heaven, the only God who exists. So here's the situation in verses 1 through 5. James is dead and Peter's liable to be dead at any time if God doesn't get him released. And we come to verses 6 through 11, which detail the angel of the Lord releasing Peter from prison. According to verse 6, Peter's escape occurred the night before his scheduled execution. Now, I don't know what time of the night it was, but I'm sure it wasn't necessarily the earliest hour of the night. God had a lesson to teach the people. And Herod, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And continues the narration, it's understood in the sense of now. When Herod would have brought him forth, where him refers to Peter, is when Herod was about to bring him forth or was on the point of bringing him forth to trial or before the court. The same night is in that night and refers to the night before Herod was intending to bring Peter out of prison before the court. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers indicates ongoing action in pastime. It's describing what Peter was doing, although he undoubtedly knew what Herod had planned for him in the morning. He also knew that he would live to be old and that he was not yet old. You see, Jesus had said to him in John 21:18, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst." You walked wherever you wanted. "But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not," where you don't want to go. Was he old yet? I don't believe he was. Of course, how old is old? When I was 15, I thought 30 was really old. When I was 30, I thought 50 was really old. Now that I'm past 50, I don't think of myself as being quite as old as I used to think of this age. 90's not looking as old as it once did. How about that? Some of you can't say that. You still think 90 looks awfully old. The more mature we become, the greater our vocabularies are expanded. All right? Anyway, bound with two chains. He was chained by the hand of each of them so that supposedly he would not be able to escape. They had taken every humanly speaking, every possible precaution, humanly speaking, to prevent him escaping. Bound with two chains is having been bound with two chains, and suggests that he was in a state of having been bound with a separate chain to each of the two soldiers, one on each side of him. This binding would have taken place at the changing of the guard and would have been intended to continue until the next changing of the guard, when he would be bound by his chains to two different soldiers. Bound has been translated in a way which emphasizes its existing result. He was, at the changing of the guards, bound, and he was still bound by two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prisoners, and the guards before the door were guarding the prison. Apparently, these keepers or guards were the other two members of the four-man squad guarding Peter during this watch. Before the door suggests that the guards were positioned at the prison door to prevent the escape of the prisoners and to prevent anyone from entering the prison for the purpose of helping the prisoner or prisoners escape. The keepers kept the prison. They were keeping watch over, or were guarding, the prison or jail. Its tense describes what they were doing while Peter was sleeping, before the angel enabled Peter to escape. As we move into verse 7, we find the angel of the Lord coming to Peter during the night, awakening him and causing his chains to fall off from his hands. You mean he didn't need a key to unlock them? No, he didn't need a key. He was able to perform a miracle. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. He didn't break any ribs, by the way. And raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And continues the thought. Behold draws the reader's attention to what follows. It's understood in the sense of look or see. The angel of the Lord is an angel of the Lord, or the Lord's angel. It may not be Christ himself, as would have been the case with the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. Came upon him where him as Peter is, stood near him with a connotation of suddenness. All of a sudden, the angel was standing beside him, and a light shined in the prison, and light shone forth or gleamed in the room or cell. It would seem that the angel was the source of this light, and that the light shone only in the room or cell in which Peter was confined. Apparently the guards were asleep. Was there any danger of the guards waking up? No. You can believe they were put to sleep by divine power. And he smote. Sounds like he really hit him hard, doesn't it? It's used in conjunction with raised up, indicating time or a fact in addition to raised up. Its action is before or at the same time as the action of raised. It's understood in the sense of having struck or hit with a light blow, perhaps in the sense of having touched or having tapped. It's been translated as showing a fact in addition to raise, and it's understood in the sense of he struck lightly, he hit lightly, but perhaps he touched or tapped or he pushed. You know, it wouldn't take much to wake a man up. If some men would wake up easier than others, maybe, but whatever, he woke him up without waking the others. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of when or after he struck him lightly, hit him lightly, touched him, tapped him, or pushed him. The angel touched or tapped Peter in order to awaken him, arouse him, without waking or arousing the guards. He touched Peter on the side, Peter's side, raised him up. He's woke him up, or roused him, saying, is used in conjunction with raised up. And what he said is, arise up quickly. It's simply, get up quickly. Get up at once. Get up right now without delay. And his chains fell off from his hands. That's miraculous. They were locked on. Fell off's been placed in a position of emphasis, which reads literally, and fell his chains from the hands. In verse 8, the angel told Peter to get ready to leave and follow him. Well, he wasn't quite ready yet. He didn't have his sandals on. He didn't have his coat on. The angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Was this a dream? Peter thought so. But it wasn't. The angel said unto him, that is to Peter, what the angel said is reported in the rest of this verse. Gird thyself, gird yourself. It suggests tie your belt or sash around you. It might instead mean get ready. Bind on thy sandals is put on your sandals. The tense of both gird and bind indicate that Peter was to do these things at once and without delay. And so he did. Indicates that Peter did as the angel had directed him. And he saith unto him indicates something else the angel said to Peter. What the angel said is, cast thy garment about thee. It likewise indicates something Peter was to do without delay. It suggests, put on your cloak around you. Then the angel said, and follow me. Begin following me. Its tense indicates continuing action in its very beginning. He wasn't following him yet, but he was to begin following the angel. Verse 9 indicates that Peter did not fully realize what was happening, but thought he was seeing a vision. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He just wasn't awake yet, that's all. He just wasn't quite with it. What if you were sleeping in between two soldiers expecting to maybe be executed in the morning, and all of a sudden an angel shows up and wakes you up? Would you think you're dreaming? Well, that's what he seemed to be doing. He went out, where he refers to Peter. It's used in conjunction with followed. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to followed. The tense of went out indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of followed. So he followed the angel and out they went. He followed him where him as the angel was following him or began following him. The tense of followed indicates action in past time. And it is emphasizing the beginning of its action. And wist not, did not know, did not perceive, did not recognize, or did not understand. And what he did not comprehend is the reality of what was happening, that it was true, which was done by the angel. True has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, that true is the thing happening to him. True is suggesting real, genuine, not imaginary, or a reality. By the angel is through the angel. It indicates that the angel was the one acting as an intermediate agent through whom God, the direct agent, performed this miracle. It's a reminder of what we heard in our adult Sunday school class this morning, that when we do something, we should not be taking credit for it, but giving God the credit instead. He's the one who accomplishes things in our ministries, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to he wist not that it was true which was done by the angels, but he thought he saw a vision. Peter was thinking, supposing, believing, or considering that he was seeing a vision. He was thinking a vision. He was seeing is the literal rendering. According to verse 10, Peter's escape was completed when the final gate opened on its own. Can you imagine walking through a gate that opened before you got there? Well, we have those kind of doors, you know. If we step on something, it'll open a door in front of us. Or if you get to be a little more mature, you'll start to realize that some doors have buttons, and if you push the button, the door will open for you, and you don't have to strain yourself to do it. When you're younger, you don't give it a thought. But when you get a little more mature, like Alan, okay? When you get a little more mature like Alan, you might begin to look for things like that to make life easier for yourself. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When they were past suggests time, or a fact in addition to came. Its action occurred before the action of came. It's been translated as showing time. It's understood in the sense of having passed through, or after they've passed through. If showing a fact in addition to came, it's simply they passed through. What they passed through was the first and second ward. That is the first and second guard, the guard post, or the sentinel. Where I grew up, if you came from the first or second or third ward, it had to do with a voting district. Okay, this is a guard post. They came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. They're going to get out of there too. Where they refers to Peter and the angel, and where the city refers to Jerusalem, they came to the gate, the one made of iron, the one that leads into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. It means it opened by itself or on its own. It's the gate, the final gate leading into the city. And they went out is used in conjunction with passed on through. And passed on through one street. They went along or proceeded one narrow street, lane or alley, or went or proceeded for one block farther. And forthwith is an immediately, or at once the angel departed from him. The angel went away from Peter. The angel left him. Although James, within the will of God, was killed, Peter was delivered within the will of God. And regardless of what anyone might think, God knew what he was doing and made no mistake in allowing one to be murdered and another one to escape or to be delivered. Verse 11 indicates that Peter finally realized that he was not dreaming, but the Lord had delivered him from his intended execution. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Peter, when he was come to himself, is Peter, having come to his senses, said, when he was come to himself, indicates time. Its action occurred before the action of said. So he realized this before he said this. What Peter said comprises the rest of this verse. Now I know of a surety. Now I know truly. I know in truth, really or actually. One thing Peter actually realized is that the Lord hath sent his angel. Where the Lord is a reference to Christ. The Lord sent his angel. It's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. And hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. Peter recognizes that the Lord was responsible for his deliverance. Now you think about things in your life. Sometimes we like to take credit for it, but actually it's the Lord who directs us and who brings things to pass. Hath delivered, hath saved, hath rescued. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Not only was Peter delivered from the hand of Herod, but he was also delivered from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. The Jews were apparently looking forward to Peter's execution, but were going to be thwarted. They're going to be disappointed when their desires were thwarted. In our text this morning, we've seen that the unsaved crowd will seek to harm believers. Don't be shocked when that happens. We've also seen that they are unable to do anything without God's permitting it. And in our text, or our next message rather, we will see that God will take vengeance on them. Herod was trying to stamp out the church, but God will stamp him out instead. Peter was delivered as the result of something miraculous. Think about some miracles which have happened in your life recently. God indeed works miracles in our lives. What miracles has God worked in your life, perhaps even to enable you to be here today? How about your salvation? You suppose that was miraculous? Of course it was. The people prayed, and God answered their prayers. Think about answers to your prayers. God indeed answers our prayers. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it's no. And we're glad later on that we got that answer correct. And sometimes it's not yet or not now. So what prayers has God answered for you, even in this past week? Think about it. What are some of them? We need to recognize God's answers to our prayers. And when the answer is no, we need to say, thank you, God, for directing me so that I didn't do that or that didn't happen. Thank you. Yes, God's at work in my life. And God's at work in your life. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this episode in the life of James and Peter and the early church. Thank you for allowing James to be murdered. And thank you for allowing Peter to be delivered, both of which were within your will. And as we go through life, we see that sometimes you answer our prayers yes, and sometimes you answer them as not right now, and sometimes you answer them as no. Thank you for your answering our prayers. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for guiding our very lives. Help us to live our lives faithfully for thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.